The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, Beth Moore describes Bibby's secret closet.
I make it last a long time because I open up the closet and I walk into it like this, and then I do this every time. I look back at them and do my head back like this. Sometimes I kick a foot back there. I do all manner of things. And I mean, they're back there at that door going like this. I mean, they are shaking all over. They just absolutely love it.
Join us as we spend Wednesdays in the Word next.
Today. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Betty and this is James, and it's Wednesdays, and we have the pleasure and the blessing of having Beth Moore teach today.
Oh, it's great. She's finishing the series on claiming Naaman, and you're going to love it. I'm looking down here in front of us, Betty, at these cute little bowls, and I know these may be a little noisy. This is ceramic, and it says mission feeding here, and then on the other side, it says a blessing in every bowl. And this is something that you can use or just put on display. Here is life, live it, give it, and on the other side, share life in word and deed. These are reminders of the importance of thinking of others. And even when I look at the little spoons, and I realize that when we first gave the little bowls, the orange bowls, the viewer said, "Can't you give those children a spoon so they don't have to use a leaf or their fingers and burn their fingers?" And sure enough, you did. And we want to remind you of that. As a matter of fact, when you sit around the table or you look in the kitchen or wherever you display them, it's going to remind you. Life, live it, give it. It's going to remind you of caring for others. And we're going to give you that opportunity. When you listen to Beth, that's spiritual food. You are going to be fed. And you are going to love the conclusion of this incredible series. Here's Beth Moore.
I want you to see point number five. We said point number four is sometimes we refuse to do what healing requires. We just refuse to do what healing requires. Number five is this: men and women of true greatness go down to the healing waters. Men and women of true greatness, we've been talking about, the whole chapter begins in 2 Kings 5 with being a person of greatness, even right there with your leprosy. And so here's what we see at the end of the segment is that men and women of true greatness go down to the healing waters. Now, this is so important because for just a couple of minutes, I want you to fast forward in your mind because it could not be more significant. Somebody tell me what river this is that he is dipping in. The Jordan River. The Jordan, I mean, is just huge in the history of Israel. Remember that they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 solid years. It was at these waters, the banks of the Jordan, that was all that stood between them and the land of promise. This one body of water, they stood at it, and in God's faithfulness, He parted it and sent them across. Mind you, the priests had to get in the water while it was raging before he receded those waters. Powerful, powerful story. But I want you to just fast forward to about in your mind Matthew's gospel, the third chapter, to a time when John the baptizer, I always loved that John was a Baptist. I always thought that's good. Never understood really anything about denominations, but I thought, well, obviously there's something to it. John was a Baptist. No, he was a baptizer. He was a different thing entirely. So he is baptizing in the Jordan. Now, it is a really fascinating kind of baptism because he's very clearly baptizing them to what he's calling, I'm going to use his terminology, he's baptizing them to repentance. His entire job, John the Baptizer, was to make ready a people for the Lord Jesus. He was preparing the way. And so what he was doing was he was getting them ready to encounter the Messiah, and he was getting them ready by preaching to them a repentance from sin, so that they would start getting their minds ready, and they were being baptized in these waters for strictly for the opportunity to repent. So I ask you, what does this look like? Because here they are in the Jordan, and John is baptizing people to repent. So what do you think they're doing? In all likelihood, they're confessing. So here they are. Would you just picture with me? Because here we know that he's literally taking them under the waters and up. So here he's got them. He's baptizing them unto repentance. So what are you repenting for? Was it covetousness? I mean, just see him. I mean, he's got a hold of him. I covet. Jealousy under the waters up. Lust under the waters up. I hate my brother. I hate my sister under the waters and up. Dishonesty. I'm a liar above all liars under the waters and up. Here comes Jesus onto the scene. John the Baptist sees him and says, listen, I'm not even worthy for you to be here. And he said, no, it is right to fill all righteousness' sake. You must baptize me. Why? Why? He was the Son of God. Why? Because right there at the very beginning of Christ's ministry, right there in those waters where all of them have been cleansed, are you getting the picture? They've all been dipped back in the waters with all of their confessions of sin. There's hatred in those waters. There's coveting in those waters. There's jealousy, pornography, every confession you could imagine in their own language. In those waters, and Jesus, in the depiction of his death and his resurrection, he is taken underneath in that picture of being killed, put to death, and raised again. He goes right under those waters, and all of that covers him. What cleansed them stuck to the cross. It stuck, and he wore that on the cross and gave his life that they might live freely and wholly forever. Those healing waters. That's how it happens. God's way. I thought to myself, this beautiful, beautiful picture right here in verse 14, where it says, so he went down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored. Does this not sound, do you get any kind of echo if you have been in scripture much? Is there any kind of gospel echo out of this? His flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Just a little tiny New Testament twist put on it. It makes me think that it's saying, and his faith was restored like the faith of a little child, and he was clean. What if we came out of this series with the faith to be cleansed? To believe that he can do what no man or woman can do for us. You never know what God has for you. I want to tell you a story as we close out this series. It's just been such a joy for me to serve you. I'm so grateful to James and Betty for the privilege. I love serving you with the Word of God, and I love the privilege to serve and partner with them. I have told you often about my two grandchildren. Both of them are about to have a birthday. So Jackson is just about 2 weeks. He will turn 7 years old, and Annabeth is just days away from turning four. And I'm just nuts about them, just absolutely nuts about them. And we get to do a lot of life together because they don't live very far from me. I get to do a lot of life with Melissa, too, because we work together. But she lives in more downtown Houston. We live really, really out in the country these days, but the Jones only live about 20 minutes from us. So we're in and out of one another's lives all the time. I know if either child has a sniffle, I just get the privilege to be that directly involved. And so I'm just nuts about them. And so I don't know where I came up with this, but I just got this idea for the children called my grandmother name, that Jackson, my seven-year-old, almost seven-year-old grandson, named me. We were going for BB, but he shortened that I and named me Bibby. And so my name is B-I-B-B-Y, Bibby. And so I just came up with the idea of what we call between Jackson and Annabeth and I, Bibby's Secret Closet. So I have a closet at my house, and it's in the hall. It has two doors that open. It's not like a walk-in. It does like this, and then there's all manner of shelves. And so what I do is along the way, and I might be at this store or that, and just see, it's usually little things. Every now and then, I have something that's bigger, like more of a larger toy. But normally, it might even be a little gumball dispenser, candies of some kind. But my closet, and it may be arts and crafts, my closet is full. I mean, it's got everything. It's got bubbles, all manner of colored bubbles. It's got paints and markers in it, all manner of things. But it's a secret. They have no idea what the inside of that closet looks like, and I think they dream about it because it is all they can think about. Now, their parents, because their parents want them to be mannerly and respectful, their parents will not let them walk in the door and go, "Can we do the baby secret closet?" Because sometimes we do it and sometimes we do not. But whatever they get, it is a secret. They cannot ask for any particular thing in it. They don't know what's in it. But there is nothing like the moment. And you'll see they'll look at me so odd because they want someone to say something. And I can tell it's just on the tip of their tongue. And I'll look, I said, "You know what? I think tonight is a night for..." And I can always pause and they're... "Bibby's Secret Closet." And it's like... Now, you understand that very often it's something this big. Okay, now picture this, because it's kind of a long haul. We have the same exact routine every single time. They have to stand at a certain doorway. Here's the kitchen. Here's the doorway. They cannot come any closer than that doorway. They stand side by side. I come all the way down the hall, and the doors that I'm going to open like this are right here. They cannot see in it. It is against the rules. So they have to stand down there. Now, this, I can't tell you what a joy it begins from the very beginning, because Annabeth immediately goes, "Come here, baby, kiss, 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 kiss." I get kisses in advance of Bibby's Secret Closet. I get kisses by faith. But what is so fun, I make it last a long time, because I open up the closet and I walk into it like this, and then I do this every time. I look back at them and do my head back like this. Sometimes I kick a foot back there. I do all manner of thing. And I mean, they're back there at that doorway going like this. I mean, they are shaking all over. They just absolutely love it. And this goes on, I bet, 3 minutes. I'll even get the thing, and then I'll flash it out like that and put it back in. Flash it out like that, put it back in. Flash it like that. Even by the time I get it to the end of the hall where they are, I have to ask them which hand it's going to be in. I mean, we go with the thing. We go with the thing. And then I give it to them. If you ask any one of those two children, would they rather have me just open the door and gone, "Here, not on your ever-loving life." Oh, they love the mystery. They love it because they trust that whatever is in that closet is going to be good. It differs what's coming out of it. Sometimes it's bigger than other times, but it's always going to be good. Why? Because it's our baby and she loves us. Jackson asked me a couple of months ago, he says, "Bibby," because he was looking at his little toy and he was putting it together. He looked up at me, his eyes are so big and blue, and he said, "Bibby," he said, "when I'm in college, will we still have Bibby's Secret Closet?" And I said, "Well, yes, of course we will." You know I said yes, because you know why I said yes? He wanted me to say yes. He did not want to get so old. There was no Bibby's Secret Closet. And so he asked me, now I can tell he's trying not to grin because he wants to say, "You know, I just want it like I want it. I want you to just open the door and hand it to me," but he doesn't. He knows better than that. He said, "Bibby," he said, "when I am a grown-up man and I have a boy, will you do Bibby's Secret Closet?" And I said, "Buddy,"
And I nearly, I got a lump in my throat. And I said, you know what? I hope to. But if I don't, I bet Mommy takes it over. Because Mommy will be the grandmother. And she may take over the secret closet. What would happen if we knew that if we just wait on Him, that His heart is only good toward us. And He's not going to tell us what's coming out of it every time. I think I probably said this to you sometime before, but I'm going to say it again. Listen, the mystery of God is part of why we're still in this, and you know it. If I look around and I see some of you that are more my age or older, why are you still interested? Why have some of you been studying the Scriptures since you were 20 years old? Why am I still studying it 30 years later like I cannot get enough? Why do I still sit? There are times I'm researching something in the Scriptures that I have to beat the top of my desk. It's like, God, I mean, where does that come from? I mean, I just have to beat the top of my desk. It's so good. Not every time, not every day, but there are times still after all these years. Why? Because I still cannot get to the bottom of it. You cannot tell me that the mystery is not part of the reason we're still in it. Because you cannot command Him, but you can trust Him. He can only bring out of behind that veil that which is good toward you. When it comes down to it, we flat out do not trust God. Our healing will come with our trust. Wholeness of heart, a mind put back together again. You can't know it all in advance, but could you trust His love enough to know that whatever He brings forth, child, it's going to be good. It's going to be good.
Yes, it is. Father, I pray that everyone listening realizes just how great and how good You are. And I pray that they will apply what Beth has shared to their lives. In Jesus' name. Betty and I want to say thank you for giving us an opportunity to share with you inspiration that hopefully makes a very positive impact on you and others you love. I hope that you're doing your best to get your friends to watch Life Today and to join us in the outreaches of life. When you know that what you're doing is changing lives now and forever, it's exciting. I want you to listen and observe the very understandable concern of a mother. And then just as you consider the needs of others, just ask God, what do you want me to do? And just respond as He leads. You know, Betty, one of the things I'm praying is that wherever people watch us, I've really wished this would happen. Everybody, wherever you are, that you would just take the time to write a note or send an email. Probably better to just write a note. And maybe just send a small gift and say, I'm in this country, this city, this community. Because, see, we're touching people all over the world. I'd just like to know where you are watching, so that I know we've at least got your eyes and perhaps your heart, and you'll pray with us and, when possible, help put God's arms of love around hurting people and reach out and meet a need. Why don't you let us know where you're watching us? We'd like to know. Write us a note and maybe help us meet this need. Look.
Mothers like Dominga usually find joy in talking about their children. But for Dominga, there is no joy. Her stories are filled with sadness and anxiety because her children are malnourished due to the lack of food in their village caused by years of drought. The look of despair in Dominga's eyes speaks of her constant worry that the day is coming when her children's health will reach a point of them no longer developing properly. As the harsh sun continues to take its toll on the land, Dominga's fears of her children's health deteriorating has become a reality for scores of other mothers like Maria and her child Antonio. Maria traveled miles by foot to this rural clinic in a desperate attempt to save Antonio's life. Severe malnutrition has set in motion the outward signs that Antonio's body is starting to shut down because of the lack of food. Dominga's children urgently need help now. Otherwise, they could soon find themselves in a malnutrition clinic, fighting for their lives.
I really think it's important for you to understand that we try to get these children before they would ever get to that place. We give the resources necessary to support those clinics. But that is the last step. And most of the mothers whose children reach that point, they don't even get to the clinic. If we can get to the children, Betty, which we've been doing for years now, about 25 years, we've been finding children where they're hungry. And like right now in Angola, there's a terrible drought. There are 100,000 children suffering desperately. And I'm praying because we can literally feed 10 children for several months for $100. So I'm praying, this very specific prayer, that there'd be a 1,000 people who would right now give $1,000. Maybe you can be one of those. And that will take care of 100 children, and then that would meet the need for those 100,000. Then we've got 400,000 in those feeding lines that you and I've stood in so long.
Many, many times we've watched them, James, and many, many times we would be there and we would run out of the food because it's hard to judge how much you might need, and always, always, the lines are longer than we would expect them to be. And it's always been our prayer, and it was especially my prayer when we began this journey of helping children get the food, the nourishment that they need, was that the lines reaching out in hope with the food would be longer than the lines of the children coming to get the food. And that's still a desire of my heart, James, that we can be ready for them, because they will come. They are desperate, and their mothers will bring the children because they love their children so much, and they see them at death's door so many, many times. And so our heart is that you'll join with us, and let's be ready for the children because they will come. They're hungry.
This is probably one of the first times that seeing that prayer answer appears to be threatened because of this terrible drought. That's why I made the very, very definite, specific request for, I put it in plain terms, we need 1,000 people. And you know, it's one person at a time giving $1,000 because we want to take care of another 100,000 that are really in critical condition. That was in Angola where you saw that clinic. And we've got the children ready, and we've been in so many areas where they were dying, and we stopped the death cycle. And Betty, we watched them where they were graves of little children, and then we began to feed because our viewers helped us. And then we got the children singing in church and thanking God. So what I'm asking you to do right now is go and get your bank card like a check, dial the number and use that card like it's a check, and make a gift for $30 or $50 or $100 or the $1,000 if you can, and we can feed 3, 5, or 10 children for $30, $50, or $100. I'm asking you to make a gift. We want to send you a book that I wrote, A Dad's Blessings, and I'm telling you, this is for everybody. If you're a dad or whether you just want to hear what a dad, what his blessing is. And our son wrote a book, Rise Above, How to Literally Be Lifted by the Truth of God and by Faith Above All the Challenges and Circumstances. Phenomenal book. Just to say thank you. Then we have some other gifts that you're going to cherish, and a beautiful glass sculpture to thank those of you who will help us reach out to that additional 100,000 children. Would you go right now, dial the number, take your bank card, or go online, lifetoday.org, and make the gift God put on your heart. Thank you so much for doing it. From the bottom of our heart, Thank you for doing it now.
In remote and impoverished areas of Africa, families are suffering, facing death by starvation. And those hit the hardest are their children. Life's Mission Feeding Program is there, able to feed and care for over 400,000 children in crisis areas of Angola, Mozambique, and Sudan. With previous food reserves gone and Angola facing its worst drought and food shortage in 20 years, we desperately need to replenish our supplies for our feeding programs immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for the next 3 months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you this inspirational two-book gift set. A Dad's Blessing by James Robison is packed with valuable fatherly wisdom and insight for dads of all ages. Rise Above by James and Betty's son, Randy Robison, will show you how to soar far above the circumstances of life and go higher in your walk with God. With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, you'll receive our Blessing Bowls, a great way to teach your family about giving and a daily reminder of God's provision for hungry and hurting children. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help feed 100 children, and you may request our 2014 commemorative glass sculpture, The Blessing. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I am really grateful for your help, and I'm anxious to send you our son's book. He is a gifted writer and teacher. Has a lot of the gifts Beth Moore has. He really does, as he writes, Rise Above, How to Go Faster, Further, and Higher in Your Faith. Wonderful. Here is a book I wrote, A Dad's Blessing. How a father can speak blessings on his children. How you, if you didn't have a father, can hear dad's blessings. And they're for you. We're sending it to you to say thanks for any gift to help us give life to feed children. And I really pray if you possibly can, you'll help us rescue 100,000 children in drought-stricken Angola. I'm asking God, literally, to raise up 1,000 people who will give a $1,000 gift. Because we got a critical need there. With the hundreds of thousands we're feeding, we got 100,000 there that desperately need our help. Thank you for doing it. Thank all of you for being with us. Appreciate it.
Tomorrow on Life Today, Matt Swatzel caused a tragic car accident that claimed the lives of Eric Fitzgerald's wife and unborn son. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.